Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I created a space where we can celebrate the unsung and the undervalued. A place where we focus on the many talents and influences for women within the culture in hopes to inspire women everywhere to overcome adversity in a male-dominated world. Welcome to Woman in Hip Hop.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl Jazzy Bell here for Woman in Hip Hop Podcast. And on this show, we focus on the many talents and influences from women within the culture. And today is no exception because we have an amazing guest. So you already know we're going to have an amazing show. I am here with the Bronx own. Connie Diamond is in the building. What's up, Connie Diamond?
What's going on, Sweetheart? How are you?
I'm amazing.
Yes.
Shout out to this season. This has so far, since doing Woman in Hip Hop, I want to say since 2016, 2017, this has been my favorite season thus far because I've been interviewing the new up and coming fire artist like yourself. So thank you so much for being here.
Of course, my pleasure.
Okay, we about to get into some things.
Let's get into it, baby.
But first and foremost, I love for my audience to like get to know you, to get a little backstory before we get to like who Connie Diamond is today. So, the Bronx, what part are we repping?
Okay, we on the Fordham Road side of the Bronx. I don't know what side everybody else is from, but we're on the Fordham Road side, the Four Line specifically. Yes. But yeah, I mean, I was born in the Bronx. I did spend some of my years in Queens. However, the Bronx is where my heart is. The Bronx is where my family is. The Bronx is where Mimi. And yeah, you know, we outside. We just outside. You know,
come on, Fordham Road. I've been on Fordham Road a few times when shopping. You know.
They know.
They definitely know. Now the fact that you are from the place where hip hop was birthed. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, it's so telling.
Yes.
With you. You are literally one of my favorite girls.
Really?
You are, bro. No idea. It's a few of y'all that's my faves. Okay. And I brought your name up in a few interviews prior to this one. Was like, Connie Diamond is on my radar, bro.
Really? Oh my God. Yeah, but cry.
Really? Shed a tear. A thug tier. We take them over here.
No, for real, because it's so imperative and important for females to just kind of like uplift each other and stick together in the industry because it's so male dominant. So it's like, let's reach a hand. Let's spread the word. Let's reach out and help each other. So thank you, and I appreciate you for bringing me up, girl.
No, for sure. Yeah. I always try to lift the girls up, especially the ones that I really like gravitate to. Yeah. And like I said, you're one of them. And I would not have a podcast like Women in Hip Hop if I'm not with the shits.
Hello.
Period.
Yes.
So we're going to talk more about that later on. But like I said, I like to give people a little bit of a backstory. So the Bronx, you said Fordham Road. Growing up, what was that like for you?
To be completely honest, growing up was like a back and forth thing.
Because of Queens.
Yes. I was back and forth with Queens. And even to this day, I have my Queens people that I've... They mad at me, but they know what's up. Like, even when I like first got introduced to just being in Queens, I'm like, yeah, I'm from the Bronx, though. I was born in the Bronx, though. They're like, yeah, but you're a Queens girl now. But it's like, whatever. But yeah, my Queens people, they're like, they understand. They know what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's not difficult, but it just was a mixture of both. You know, Queens. Queens is very calm. Like, my Queens living was very calm. It was just strictly about schooling and just making sure I had a better educational thing going on for me. So, you know, Queens was a vibe. You know, I spent my elementary days in Queens, my junior high school days. It wasn't really up until my like adult years that I actually like was like in the Bronx. And I would say like 17, 18.
I see why Queens is mad. Yeah. But you're from the Bronx. You can rap what you want to rap.
Listen, this is the thing.
Mm-hmm. Speak on it. Cause not to cut you off. Cause I always tell people, cause I'm from Detroit, but like I moved here when I was like 19.
See?
Fresh out of high school, but I rep the D. And my reason why I rep Detroit is because I say I went to, you know,
junior high, high school.
Yeah. So that's like.
Yeah, but my situation, I'm not even going to go too in depth, but my situation was just like, you know, let's provide a better schooling situation.
And that's why you went to Queens. But your heart, of all hearts, was in the Bronx.
Always in the Bronx. My entire family's in the Bronx. Like, that was my only piece of family that lived outside of the Bronx. Like, everyone, my aunts, grandmothers, cousins, dad, mom, everybody's in the Bronx. But my aunt, she was living in a great space. She's one of the little wealthy, you know.
The ranch one of those.
So she's like, yeah, let's bring over here. Let's get it going. You know how it is. You know how it is with me.
I had a moment. I used to go visit my rich aunt in the summertime in Southfield, Michigan.
Aunt that I had to go. Yeah, you know, that's what that was. And it was cool. It was good vibes. I'm very appreciative. I'm very, you know, grateful for the opportunity to just be able to get a better education on this side of, you know, New York. And, you know, it was good vibes. I'm not tripping. I love my Queens people, but I'm from the Bronx.
Girl, if you don't keep repping the fucking Bronx, we gonna fight. Bronx.
They know.
So
they love
what?
Me. I always shout them out, though, because I don't want them to feel like, because just even growing up in Queens, going to school in Queens has molded me to the person I am today as well. Like, so I'm never, like, gonna discredit or act like I'm not. I rep Queens. I rep the Bronx.
What part of Queens, though, real quick?
I lived in Rosedale.
Oh, that's why you ain't repping that shit.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. No, because you're not about to have the role that people come and chew my head off. No.
I love y'all in Queens. So people actually think I'm from Queens when I used to work at Hall of Fame Studios.
Right.
At the Coliseum.
Yeah, Ball. The Coliseum on Avenue, girl. Yes, don't do that, though. Don't fucking do that. No.
But, like, Rosedale isn't, like, you're not shouting that out. Rosedale.
Because it's not the same as saying,
I know.
I'm from 40 Projects.
Exactly.
Or I'm from Southside. It's not the same, like, right? Because it's not popular, but Queens is a good space. I do not.
You was with your rich aunt, as you should. It's okay.
I was in Rosedale, and I was in Queens Village after Rosedale, and I spent like a year in Queens Village, and then I moved to the Bronx, and I was like, bye, I'm going back to the motherfucking trenches. Bye, I'm going back to the trenches. Like, yeah, so yeah, Queens is a vibe, man. I love my people from Queens, but I'm a Bronx girl at heart.
Love that. Shout out to the Bronx and Queens. Mm-hmm. Rosedale, to be, you know, to be what exact. I'm trying to say. The Casamigos kicking in. No, oh, so I love that. But let's talk about the trenches. Let's talk about musically when it comes to, like, coming up. Mm-hmm. Who were you listening to? Like, what was banging in the household?
Oh, my God. I'm not going to lie. Like, I listen to so much music. I listen to Heavy on a Remy. Heavy on a Slap a Bitch, Snatch a Bitch. Stop playing with me, because that's just my vibe. Like, I'm a Taurus. I'm super aggressive. I like to make aggressive rah-rah music.
Girl, yes.
But I'm really a sweetheart. Like, anybody that knows a Taurus, they know we so soft on the inside. But when it's time to go, we're going to give it to you. We're going to get the going. You feel me?
Oh, we see.
Yes.
Look at your stance. Do it again. We're going to get the going.
Don't do
Damn.
That.
Damn. You did
yes.
it. I'm mimicking you. We're going to get the going.
Yes.
She can fight, y'all.
Yes, heavy on the Remy. Heavy on the Dipset. Yes, Jim Jones, Cameron. I had an era in high school where I was just like obsessed with fucking Diplomat music. Like, I had an era. It was bad. Jadakiss, Ghostface Killah. My very, very first song that made me feel like, okay, I fucking love it. It was Church's La Ghost. If y'all don't know, please go and do your Google and do
all the hip hop is no, yeah.
Yes, Church of the Ghost, that was my shit. I was just like, oh my God, I love this song. It's so
Ghost is
so
a great storyteller, yeah.
Yes, and that's what really made me fall in love with just aggressive hip hop, aggressive like music.
It shows in your music. It resonates.
I'm not mad.
Not at all. You should
be. I'm not mad at all, okay?
That's why you're one of my faves.
Hello, period.
Okay, yes. Ghostface Killah, Jim Jones, well, Cam, Dipset, yes. Period.
Remy
for sure. Shout out to Remy.
I'm gonna be telling my age, child.
No, actually, you're not.
Listen to the artists over here. You know, the artists today will never.
You know what I respect about it, because you're giving props to the ones that
the pioneers.
Yeah,
the people that really like open the doors and really set the tone. But an artist like me is just really like get the stomp and the stepping in this shit. Yes, you're absolutely right. Can I get a amen?
Absolutely. Hello. Amen. Hallelujah, church. Cap, tabernacle, all that shit. Wait, so what was your favorite Remy record? I'm just curious.
Oh, God.
Do you have a favorite Remy record?
I'm a your right hand up. Let me not. Poppy, hey, get it, that's the one right there. That shit come on in a party is over. Lit. Somebody look at you wrong in a party is over. Like, what? I know you ain't just bump me in a...
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Nah, like, that's one of those type of songs. Like, why? Don't make me get ghetto on the spot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was one of those type of records. Like, yes. I think that's my favorite Remy record.
That's your favorite Remy?
That's my favorite one.
Definitely one of mine.
That's the one they played at every party. When that shit came out, they played it at every single party.
Do you know, to this day, I play Conceited when I wake up in the morning?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Conceited was a banger, though.
Like, yeah, it's Conceited for
was
me.
A banger. Mm-hmm. That was a banger. It made every girl feel like a badass bitch, like
a confidence period. Builder. Yeah, yes. it was like that song to me is not just a regular hip hop record. Right. It's a song which a lot of hip hop records are filled yeah. with affirmations.
Yeah.
So that's what that song did for yeah. me. If I could wake up in the morning as I'm getting dressed, I'm conceited. I got a reason. Hey,
I look too good to be. Hey, and I look too good to be. Period.
Like, it's really, like, I was doing an interview one time on the news, and it was mm-hmm. asking me, what is your favorite, like, top five songs yeah. that, like, help build your confidence? And
conceited was top of the list, right?
Top.
I'm not mad at that.
Every morning.
I'm mad at that.
For years. It's just, it does something for me. And so Remy is definitely one of the goats out here for me.
We outside. For the women. Big Bronx, we outside.
And I can hear, exactly, shout out to the BX. Yes. I can hear you two on a record together.
Yeah, I'm still, I got my hands, got my fingers crossed. I'm hoping to get it done still. I got my fingers crossed.
We manifested that shit.
I'm manifesting, baby. Oh, yes.
In the new year.
I would really, like, lose my shit if I get that done. Like,
yeah.
literally. Like.
Aesthetically, it would look good. You two next to each other. And musically, sonically, it would sound
yes, great. Yes, because everyone always compares me to her. I think because I'm dark-skinned and I'm aggressive. Okay. And really was dark-skinned and aggressive. And she had bars, too. So it's like, they're like, okay, and she won a bronze? Okay. And then when I put out there, like, I listened to a lot of Remy music when I was, they're like, okay, yeah, we see where we going. Okay, so like, it'll be so good for hip hop. So I got my fingers crossed.
I love that.
I want to get it done.
Now, before we get into the music that you got going on, because we're about to tap into that. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes, because you know representation is so important. I know we're talking about yeah. Remy, but who was it, her for you, or who was it for you that you saw on TV, whether it was in film, TV, music, that you was like, I see myself in that person?
I'm not going to lie. It was definitely Remy.
Okay.
And I'm not even trying to be an old, oh, I'm from the Bronx. I'm not trying to even do that. Mm. I remember being in Queens and, oh my God, I remember writing a rap one day. And my aunt, when she see this, she's going to be like, yeah, I remember because I whipped your ass after I read the rap. Like, I remember writing a rap and it was just so vulgar. It had so many curses in it. It was just very basic too. Like, because I was so young, like 14, 15. And she was just like, she was like, what is this garbage? And what is this? Why you have to quiet all these curses and da-da-da? And I just, when I saw Remy, it was just like, she was just, that's what she was. She was aggressive and like, stop fucking playing with me because I'm outside and I'm going to give y'all a vibe. I'm that girl. That's, feel me? And I was like, yo, and even to see that she was dark-skinned, not just discriminating. I'm never discriminating, but it's like, just to be a female of melanin, and to see another female of melanin. And it's like, okay. Because you know how it is sometimes. They put the certain girls on a pedestal.
Colorism, yeah.
That exists. I didn't want to tap into that because that's a whole different... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it be
that's
sometimes.
Part two of the episode. We could tap into that another time.
You see?
Time.
But just, you know,
but colorism is real. And I hate when people try to denounce it like it's not a thing.
It is.
Yeah.
But I hate to like even bring it up because I hate to... It's gonna take more than 5 minutes to talk about. Like,
facts.
So I'll be like, you know, I say my little one-twos, and it's like, you know what? For me, it felt like, oh my God, seeing someone of a darker complexion, cute. And she was flourishing, it made me feel like, okay, I could do this shit, because they let her in, so they gotta let me in, you know what I'm saying? Like, that, I'm not gonna lie to you, like, that, I will never forget that she found her rap, and she was so mad. I'm like, Remy raps like this. What are you talking about? How is this bad? How is this trash? This is how Remy talks about. You're crazy. Like, and I just stuck to my guns, and my uncle told you to this day, like, she took one time. I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. You stuck to your... I cursed you out and told you to lie, and you stuck to your gun. So, Yes, Remy's at the top of the list for me, period.
Do you remember that rap that she... can you spit it for me?
I cannot. I don't even know. I don't even know what I was saying.
Do you remember your first 16?
I remember a couple lines, but the internet's going to chew me up if I even recite this shit. It's not even... It wasn't even barred up. It was just very like...
It was old. It's okay. No one's going to judge you.
Oh, my God.
Just give me a couple of... 4 bars.
All right. Don't laugh, please. Because I dare remember it, and I'm about to say it.
And you give me more bars.
It was Rhyme 1, Phase 2, Tell Me What You Gonna Do. It's me, Connie, and it's Rap Industry from the Boogie Down Bronx. And I ain't playing cat. My rhymes are so rough. Didn't it feel like you got slapped at? Today, like, I will laugh today because it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And it was more to it, and I started cursing and I swear mom was like, what the fuck are you talking about? She was so mad at me. But yes, I'm not, it is what it is, child.
Thank you so much for doing it today. But... Listen, these niggas can't play with you today.
Period.
Let's be fucking clear. Oh, yeah. My God. Thank you for sharing that.
That was so good. Really, oh, my God. Me. I'm going to laugh at this shit when I watch that. Like, girl, why did you should have said you wouldn't remember that shit.
You know why? Because you're going to perform your freestyle later, song or whatever, and it's all about evolution and evolving. Yeah. If you're not evolving, you're dissolving. That's my word.
Period.
So, listen, you see how we started with this, and then we're going to hear, like, y'all see what, you already know what she does. Don't play with her. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, like, when it came to you rapping, was it like you was into Black history? It was like a Black history?
Yes. Oh, my God. It's so weird because I'm like, when I was in school, I was like obsessed with like my African-American studies. I was obsessed. My teacher was obsessed with me. I got like, literally, he pulled me to the side one day and was like, the only reason why you got a 99 is because they told me I couldn't give no student 100. I'm like, excuse me.
Yes, teacher.
But I was obsessed. And we were like, and I would just like do, like, I would write poetry, like Black history slams. It would be, we had a lot of that going on. Mm-hmm. And I would just write a lot of poetry. And then it was one day I just was kind of like experimenting and just trying to see like, how would this sound on the beat? And how would this, and I'm like, wait, does this mean I can rap? Because I write poems pretty damn well. And then I just started, you know, transition into just like doing music from there. But that was at like maybe 13, 14 years old.
So impressive. And I love that because I love Black history myself. So to know when I was researching, I saw that that's what kind of made the transition into you getting into hip hop was the fact that you were a poet first, which to me, that's what a rapper is. Right. A good rapper. Anyway.
Right. Right.
But it was the knowledge and love for Black history.
Yes. That was me. Like, I was really tapped in. Like, I was so tapped in. I hope he's still alive. I hope he's well.
His name
was Mr. Sinclair. Yes.
Shout out to Mr. Sinclair.
Queen. Shout out to Mr. Sinclair. I hope you're alive and well. And if you see this, holla at me, man.
I love that.
Period.
We're going to talk more Black history later. But let's talk about the buzz, the music, now that we made a transition to your career.
Yeah.
It first began in 2016, correct me if I'm wrong, with the freestyle off of Drake's
Summer 16. Yes. Oh, man. That was such an amazing time for me because I'm a person that constantly take breaks from music because I just like to figure out what the fuck I'm gonna do next. Okay. And the way hip hop and the way music works, it evolves every fucking day. It's like one moment the music is like this and then 2 months later the music is like that and no one needs to rap like that no more, so it doesn't matter. I still try to keep my own uniqueness, but I try to keep up with the Joneses, if that makes sense. Like, okay, this is what we're doing. Let me do it. Let me do that, but I'm going to do it in my way so it makes sense and I can still stay in the conversation and stay afloat. So I was fresh from a break. One of my homeboys, we're not cool anymore, but he was like, yo, Drake just dropped the song, Summer 16, da-da-da. Yeah. Heard the beat. I'm like, yeah, let me tap into it. And I just got the right hand. I was working in the salon. I shot the video in the salon I was working at in the lash room in the back.
Really?
Yes.
And I saw that video.
Viral after that. And I was so grateful because I wasn't expecting that. I just was just putting out music.
Yeah.
And it always feels good when you're putting out music and you're just doing it for the love. Like when you're like looking for moments and you're like doing things for a reason, it never works out the way you want it to. It's just good to just always just be creative and just give to the consumers and give to your fans and just you know, just do your thing. Like, let everything else come to you. And that was one of those moments for me. And it was such an amazing moment because I was like, wow, it made me feel like I could really do this. Because it was viral everywhere. That's when Tumblr was still a thing. So I was Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everything that was out. I was on everything that you could have thought of. I was out. Yeah. So I was very grateful for that moment.
I love that you said that because a lot of people, I tell people, like, don't ever try to copy, like, what's popping because you're not going to last long. If it's natural and it just comes to you, like,
it'll work.
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Work. And that's exactly what you're saying. And that's why from 2016 to now, you're still here.
Period.
Flourishing.
Can I get a little amen?
Oh, we get a little amen. Yeah. I'm about to say we can drink to that too.
Okay, hello. Excuse me. Yes.
Yes. No, because I tell people when you try to do what another person is doing, you will always be second.
Yep.
You will never be number one in this. And then you're not gonna last long. Because it's not your love.
Yep.
You do not love it. So that will always be an issue. Okay. Outside of that, from there, you release a few EPs. So in 2019 you have Southern Fried Trapping. Southern
Trapping for the 99-2000.
Oh, but it was more of a southern, style.
It's the same thing. I ain't mad,
Southern
girl.
For the 99-2000. Yes. I do have that written here.
It's all right. I did a lot of down south beats. That was it.
But that's what it was. Yeah. It was just like you was just rapping over
a lot of down south beats. Basically,
that's what it was.
Southern beats. Yeah,
and that was in 2019.
Yes,
right. And then in 2020, you had Trap Elliot 2.0.
Yep.
Okay. And then in 2022. Flow of form,
mm-hmm.
Right? Now, let's talk about that really quick because okay. I like, is it Nene Bambo?
Nene Bamba.
Bamba. That's my favorite.
See, now we're going to flip the script. Why is that your favorite?
I love, okay. Maybe it's because, maybe it's because, okay, I like how you flip it and you interview me. Okay, so with that particular song, I think because I know it's a sample, like it has a Hispanic like mm-hmm. sample to mm-hmm. it. And then you being from the Bronx, and we know the Bronx is very much mm-hmm. Hispanic filled.
Right. That makes sense. We got a picture right. going on.
I just felt like you merged the two so perfectly where it was like you was representing for your people, hence your love for Black history. Mm-hmm. Like you're authentically yourself. And then you brought in like the Bronx. So it was just like, a quintessential, like, kind of a Bronx mm-hmm. hip-hop record filled with
culture.
I was going to say multi-ethnicity, but it's multicultural. That's what it is. That's why I love it, to answer your question.
And guess what? That was it. That's what
that was the point?
That's what
okay.
I was
trying
to do.
See?
And
I'll be talking
so
about
organically. It happened so organically. I was at, what's that spot called? Audio Mac. I was at Audio Mac building and I played the record and one of the engineers was like, oh, I have a artist, Moreno. He's dope. He's from the Bronx too. And he was playing his stuff and it was like Hispanic drill. And I didn't understand, but I was like, this shit sounds hard. I don't know what he's saying, but it sounds hard. And I reached out and I was like, yo, and it was like this. He was like, yo, let's do it. Give me the beat.
Love it.
Got it. Here's the verse. Let's do it. Shoot the video. Let's go. It was like that. And then it just so happened that the Dominican Day Parade was coming up.
Look
the
at
one
this.
In the Bronx already passed, but the one in the city was still valid, and that's when we shot the video.
That'd be
the
one.
And that's what I mean by when I say, like, I'm a person, if anyone knows me to this day, and if you ever get to know me, you will know that. Like, I'm a person that I do what the fuck I want to do. I don't care if, I don't give a fuck about what's going on. I do like to keep up with the Joneses because I like to stay in the conversation.
Right.
But I do what I want to do. I said I want to do a Spanish drill record, and that's what the fuck I did. I didn't care who wanted to hear it or not. I did what I wanted to do, and that's what I love about me. Cause how I see it is how I get it done.
Yeah.
Period. So I reached out to him. He got it done. We shot the video. It came out fire. Like it was so good. People were literally coming up to us. They saw the cameras and they just was like, okay, the cameras are rolling. Let's get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my favorite songs too, cause it came out so smooth. And I was just being me. I rapped how I rap it and try to do a Spanish accent. I just
nope.
did my own thing and I let him do his thing and we just bridged the gap between the community. Like, we just let it be what it's going to be. You feel me? So I'm happy about that.
See, I told you I'll be having my own little A&R dreams. I be knowing the records.
Period.
I be knowing the ones that really do slap, in my humble opinion. Period. That's that. And then in 2021, you had the Baby's rendition of Ball If I Want To.
Yes.
That sparked a viral moment for
that
you.
Did. That's actually the record that landed me my deal with Def Jam.
We about to talk about that. Def Jam's on. Y'all give it up. Everybody in the room, clap it up. Yeah.
Very happy about that.
Yes. Oh, my God. So much history with the legendary Def Jam. But, yes, that right there is what did it. That, like, so talk about how that all came into fruition. If that's the record that sparked the deal, how, ma'am? How?
How? Why yes. you say how? It's crazy because...
No, like, who called who? Who said what?
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, this industry is word of mouth. So it's like, what happened?
You're absolutely right. One thing about Twitter...
I'm excited now.
Twitter going to do what the fuck they need to do.
Black
every
Twitter.
Time. Twitter going to do it for you. Every time that I went viral, is the spark was from Twitter. Every time. They going to do what they got to do every time. Every time. Like, there's no doubt about it. But I say that to say... I was fresh from, I had gastric sleeve surgery.
Oh.
And then I did cut cosmetic surgery just clean and tighten. I don't even talk about this. Like, I've never broadcasted this anywhere. People probably see it and just know, like, oh, okay. But I never actually, like, said anywhere, like this
really?
Is what I did. Yes. Yes. So I was just on a hiatus. I was just like, okay, I look good. I feel good now. And I did this. And I did this leave. And just because I had like a little health concerns going on.
Okay.
Got that in order. And then, you know, after you do the C surgery, your body just, it'd be all over the place. So now you got to tighten and tone it up.
Yes.
Right. Did that. And then that time
Ooh,
frame.
Thanks
this,
for sharing that journey though. I love that.
I have nothing
I did
to hide.
See the, I saw the change.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was that.
Yes. Yes.
Because you wasn't that. Big, cool.
Yeah, I know. People probably feel like, oh, if you're like fat or big, then you should get that or you should have to get that. But my thing was more on a health concern. It was like a pre-diabetic thing going on.
Exactly.
And it runs in my family. So I had to like get it in order. And it was either go to the gym and da-da-da or just get it in order.
Quick 1-2.
Whatever you got to do.
Ain't mad at a 1-2.
So we got it in order.
Yes. Everything and you look amazing. You look great before.
You.
Also, now, and you did it for your health, and I don't give a fuck you did it for vain reasons
Thank
either.
You, right?
You look great.
Thank you.
For
Everything
real.
Everything is copacetic now, so I'm not tripping.
I love it.
The health is disorder, the body is bodying, and I'm not mad, so it is what it is, yes. But yes, I did that.
Yeah.
And I was just, in that time of just healing and getting myself together, I was just like, let me just work on some music. Working on music, and I'm infamous for giving y'all a quick 16, rah. Leaving the scene, boom, that's what you get. So that's what people really love me because I give them a quick thing. They were like, damn, I wish it was longer. I wish it was more. Great replay value. So I did that. And once I got everything, when I was fully healed, when I got together, I had my cameraman, shout out Eric, DDFRX. And I was like, let's shoot this shit in the hood because I'm feeling very much around the way, girl. Like, let's just let them know we back on the scene, we outside. And that's
Waist
what that was.
Waist is snatched.
Period. And I literally went 2-3 blocks from my house and shot that video.
Right outside that bodega?
Right outside the bodega. It was 3 blocks from my house.
Nice.
And I told my cameraman that same day, like, he was showing me the footage. I'm like, we're going viral. We're going viral. And that's exactly what the fuck we did. Period. I saw it already. Like, yeah, it's over. We up.
Look at that.
So Summer 16 was that. Tunji reached out to me. Tunji, the CEO of Def Jam.
Period. Educate the people.
The head honcho.
I mean, you can't just slide over that.
The one in charge. Yeah. He reached out to me directly. He was like, yeah, let's talk. Let's chop it up. Let's see what we got. And then we locked it in. I vibe. And don't get me wrong. A couple people reached out to me, but I don't know. I just felt very much like when I spoke to Tunji, he was speaking to me about music that I put out before that.
Mm.
So it made me feel like he did his research. Me feel like he actually like dived into my older like records and just try to get to know me a little before he met me, and that made me feel a little bit more like connected. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna fuck with him because I feel like he actually dug deep because he saw something. So yeah, shout out to Def Jam, shout out to me, shout out to you, shout out to everybody be outside. Yes,
shout out to you. No, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That is no like small deal. Def Jam is the legendary label.
It's a big thing, but yeah, I'm very humble, so I just try to like. Every time.
Shout out to some of the ladies that were signed to Def Jam prior to you. So you like they just passing the torch and you holding it down and we're here. And Nikki D, Foxy Brown. If I could think of more names, I got you. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm Nikki D and Foxy. That's the oldest school. So yeah. Congrats. What the fuck? Okay, everybody in the room, clap it up real quick. Clap it up. Dev Jam. Shout out to the CEO that reached out to you. Yeah, How has it been so far with being signed? What's the difference? Because, you know, everybody out here is very much independent and loving it. And you was doing your thing for a while, independent, and that's why you're here now signed with Dev Jam. So what's the change been like for you?
Oh, man. It's definitely been a roller coaster because I'm used to doing what the fuck I want to do. Whenever I want to do it, and excuse me, don't get me wrong, they very much gave me a lot of creative control and freedom, but it's just different now.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The schedules. You got people you gotta verify things with. You got people you gotta ask, can you put this out? How you gotta give over your social media? They gotta log in and make sure. This is a lot of that, a lot of personal space that's like, okay, this is our shit now. This is your shit still, but it's ours now too. But you know what I'm saying? So I'm not mad. I'm very happy because this is what I've been working for. Mm. Like I haven't been doing music just to do music. I've been doing music to elevate, and if this is a part of elevating and just like, you know, stepping stones and all that. So it's been a smooth ride. I'm still learning as the day goes on, just learning how the rope goes, how the industry works. And yeah, it's very much still new. So we working, we getting it together.
That was just in October, right?
Literally. I actually was signed a couple months before that, but they announced it in October.
Let the bag out.
They announced it in October, but I was already locked in. But everything is a process, you know?
Yeah.
You got to get the lawyers together. You got to get the team together. You got everybody on board. You got to get, you know, everything is a process. So, yeah, we're still in the very much beginning stages, but things are moving pretty smooth, and I'm very happy.
Speaking of being happy and things moving smooth, Gift Wraps is out.
Gift Wrap is out.
Let's talk about Gift Wraps. Now, is that under the... Def Jam Monica, yeah.
Yes, it is. And it's funny because Gift Wrap was my idea.
Talk about it.
They did not even care to, like, they wanted me to get my EP together and la-da-da-da. But I'm like, yo, I always wanted to do a Christmas tape, like, forever. Mm-hmm. I was going to do a Christmas tape. And they was like, all right, you could do it, whatever, get out the way. But next year, we stomping on shit. I'm like, okay, cool, yeah.
So let me just feed the people on mine.
Something for the holidays.
Mariah Carey shit.
Yes, right? And originally, I just wanted to do one record, which was the first song, which is titled Gift Wrap.
Gift Wraps, yeah.
And it came out dope. It was, all of the beats are, they have like Christmas jingles in the background. Mm-hmm. So I try to do that. Because after a while, after I made that first record, I'm like, how much Christmas shit could I possibly rap about? I done rapped about all the reindeers, all the Rudolph, all the Santa Claus, all the chimneys. I said everything I had to say.
Right.
So the rest of the records were just like, rap what you want to rap about, and but then still have the beat have some kind of relevance to a Christmas sound or Christmas jingle. That was my thing. Shout out to Homie Hill. Shout out to Chris Saves. Those are the two producers for the Gift Wrap project. So that was that. That's just to hold y'all over to next year, because next year... it's a movie, yeah. We stomping on shit next year.
Okay, period. I can't wait to see what's popping next year because I expect great things from you. But on Gift Wraps, I will say, Gift Wraps is the track, the first track. Then you got Winter Bay, Jingle Freak, and Mood.
Yes.
Winter Bay is my favorite.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you... tell me why.
See, you always want
to ask. Yes, because I like to know... you have to do these things so you can know what your consumer's like.
I think it's just your flow on it. For me,
it's a little different, calm,
right?
Sassy little.
There you go. Because you're so known for being so aggressive,
right?
Obviously.
Yes.
So Winter Bay, it just kind of showed a bit of like versatility. You ain't gonna be keep finishing my damn sentences.
No, it's okay. Let me stop. Let me get a little.
But at least you know we here. Like, you see why I like what I like.
Yes.
But that's why.
And I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And that's what I try to give to my consumers and my fans and my supporters and the people that fuck with me. I want to let them know that I am truly an artist, not just Kanye Diamond, boom, boom, bust you in my thigh, I shoot shit up. Nah, I got so much stuff in the tuck, like, so much stuff in store, and I can't wait for people to hear it. It's just like, and I love that. You appreciate it. You see, okay, she doing that, but she could do this too.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what being an artist is truly about. It's just how creative you can really get, right? Okay.
Okay, so what we so tell the people what to expect in 2023 as far as creativity. Like, you say you about to bust us upside the head with shit. what are we gonna get? No, honestly, I really want to know what are we gonna get, because I'm excited
knows
for you
already. Like, yes, that Move was moving viral. I got my fingers crossed. I'm trying to get Move cleared at the moment. I'm trying to get it going. That is the Ludacris sample with the Move. I'm trying to get that together. Mm-hmm. So keep your fingers crossed for me. Everybody, my fans on Twitter have been supporting. They've been writing Ludacris like, yo, what's going on? Let's go get this symbol clear because we need this. People been asking for it. Yes, they've been asking for it. And yeah, I'm going to give you guys a full-length project, everything original.
Mm-hmm.
Just good vibes. Just good. I'm so excited about it because I've been working on this project since I signed. So it's like, yeah, I got to give the people what they need. So expect the full-length project. Expect some dope visuals. Expect some dope features from the city, from outside the city. Just expect the vibe, man. Expect elevated Kanye Diamond. Feel me?
Dream collaboration, because we got labels behind us now, so they could pull all kinds of things out for my girl. Who's a dream collaboration for you?
Oh, my God. I think a dream collaboration would be Lakia from Quality Control. I love Lakia because I feel like... Like, she's so hard. She reminds me of me. She's not so aggressive, but she is shit talker, and I love shit talkers. Like, when you rap and you just talking your shit, like that cocky, I feel like that's the kind of, I like those type of girls. I like the other girls too, the bad bitch, pretty talk. I love all of it, but the shit talkers is like, yeah, I'm here, and what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Feel me?
Yeah.
So I like Lakia. I love Lakia vibes. I watched her from when she first like got signed with Quality, and I seen her elevation and growth. I love Lakia. I would love a record with Lakia right now. I feel like we would like fuck the city up with that.
This is why I have what I have. Even before the girls, this whole new like influx or resurgence of female rappers, I've always had this podcast. Mm-hmm. But to see all the new ladies like yourself killing it in the game, I'm so excited. This is the most fun I've ever had with this podcast because of that. Because I would reach out to Roxanne Shanté, Yo-Yo, respect to all of them. And they all been on my podcast, but it felt like a platform to kind of, you know, shed light on them and their journey from the past because I didn't have much to really work with. So now that you all
but
are
now
like,
it's flooded.
My
it's
nigga,
funny with the girls.
It's so much fun.
Especially New York girls. In New York, it's like a microscope on the city right now.
Period.
Who's outside of New York, let's get it done. It's like that right now. So you in a good space and you're doing well and you're going to be very, very happy.
I'm so happy. And I'm happy that I've been doing this even prior to that. So I'm just in like la la land.
Right.
Okay, creative process before we wrap this up, because I always like to know, where do you go? What does it look like when you're... Cause your shit be so hard. I'm like, do you be like in the jungle spitting your bars? Like, are you like in the middle of a fucking jail cell somewhere?
Oh,
like, no, it's in the ring or the boxing. Like, what gets you in the zone? Like, describe your creative writing process. What does that look like?
It's so crazy. It's so crazy because like it's never the same. It's never the same. I have moments where I'm like, I could be like in an Uber going somewhere, traveling somewhere, and it's like, oh, I feel a vibe. I'm in a mood. I'll just start doing mumbling flows on my motherfucking voice notes. When I'm in a crib, if I'm actually working on the beat and I'm creating, it's no secret. I say this every time.
What?
Twitter. I said, I suck with writing hooks. I fucking suck.
Okay.
I'm like a rapper. I feel like I was just so used to just writing freestyles. Excuse me, and freestyles are like, they don't require a hook. They're just rappity rap. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So a lot of my time has been spent just writing. So now I'm spending a lot of my time creating, trying to figure out the formula and the ways to create a hook. So now I try to work on the hook first, but my normal formula is writing the verse. And whatever the verse leads me to is what I start talking about in the hook. That's it. Usually, like the correct formula for everyone else, consumers, they'll come up with the hook, and the hook will tell you what you are supposed to write about. The hook tells you what you, what the song is going to be about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing this shit, and now the hook, once I start telling what I got to say and say what I got to say in the story, the hook is like, okay, the hook is whatever the fuck I say it is, because I already said what I had to say in the verse. Feel me?
Yes.
But I understand it's a formula, and I'm just still, I'm still learning. I'm still teaching myself how to, like, get the right structures to get a hit, to get a song together.
Do you like working with other writers?
I'm not going to lie to you. In my past life, my past life, I was very much so like, oh, this person will write their own shit. Oh, oh, they not this, they not that. I'm not dealing with that. Da, 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 da. But now that I am actually signed and I'm in the industry and I see how this shit go, a lot of people, everyone actually gets help sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm not upset, and I'm not upset anymore because I understand that's just how it goes.
Absolutely.
So I'm not going to lie. I have been in rooms with people that has like, you know, hey, hey, you probably should say it like this. Oh, hey, like, if I'm like, I'm struggling with the hook, they're like, hey, how about I just jot the hook down for you, blah, blah, blah. And that goes, and the first person I actually had that real experience with is Homie Hill. That's my bro, that's my homie, that's my bro. That's family right there.
Shout out to Homie Hill.
And yes, he has actually whipped up a hook or two or three for me. But it's like, you know, it doesn't take away that what I used to think that it takes away from you being an artist, and it does not. Like, if you're an artist and you can write, you can write. People already know me for rapping. I'll rap niggas' heads.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
From here to the fucking door. Feel me?
Facts.
But sometimes people kind of need that molding, and they need a little bit of nudge, and they need a little bit of oomph, they need a little bit of help. And that's fine. And I'm starting to learn that. And the industry is like, a lot of people that you may think or may not think gets help, they get help.
You know why you had to learn that? Because I feel like this industry puts so much fucking pressure on rappers, yes, but female rappers in particular, to always, they always question y'all pen game.
They always do.
But they don't never question the man pen game.
They don't.
Until you fucking go on iTunes or Spotify, whatever the hell you listen to, and you go to the credits and you see mad names, but no one ever questions the greats as to who the fuck is Dear John, who the fuck is Jane Doe, who the fuck is it? Y'all just...
That's the message.
So that's
right,
why
there.
I love the conversation that started with like Coyle Ray and Bia and Latto,
yeah,
where the reference track came out with Latto, when people tried to say...
They tried to discredit her.
Exactly. And Coyle Ray spoke out, was like, a lot of us, the people, are ignorant to how hits are made, how songs are created.
Exactly.
There's not just one person in there.
That's ripping it. Sometimes it is, but a lot of the times, it's not.
A lot of the times, it's not. And that's fucking okay. But what I need to stop happening in this industry as it pertains to my girls.
Right.
My women in hip-hop.
Period.
Stop questioning that motherfucking pen game, because your favorite ain't writing their own shit solely, just them. You know what I mean? Like, yep. Everyone gets help here and there, yes. And that's what creates a hit,
right?
You know, for a lot of these artists, right. Male or female.
And I was, and I for a while, I was against it. Like, I've had moments where I just would like discredit other artists, and I'd be like, "Oh, this person ain't writing any shit. I don't care." But it's like, yo, this is really what the fuck it is, and that's because you're ignorant to the process of how things work or how the industry works. And I'm fairly new, so I'm now understanding and okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. And now that I know, I take full accountability for how I was thinking and what I was saying and And it's just that, you know, I'm very grateful and I'm very happy to just be where I'm at. So, like, I used to be against it. I'm not against it anymore, because guess what? Like, I've came a time where I needed help, and it's like, okay, well, shit. you can't be mad at somebody else for getting help because your ass need help too. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. I'm a very humble, like, I'm a very, like, I'm not, like, I nobody could ever tell me that I can't rap, but I rap niggas' heads off. But when it comes to that space, I do need help, and I'm not afraid to say I need help with that. And I've been seeking that, and I've been creating some motherfucking hits, and I'm ready for y'all to hear it, period. Mm.
And we're ready to listen. Period. Yes, I love that. Thanks for educating us and the people out there.
Period.
Quit questioning my girls. Pin game. That's okay. It. Now, we're getting to the end of the interview. And at this point, this is my confessional hour. I usually ask like 5 questions. And it usually warrants one word answers. Okay. But we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Okay. Single or booed up? What we doing?
Single.
Single, single?
Big single. Where is the niggas at? Nah, let me stop.
Where the niggas at?
Nah, I'm super focused. I'm super focused right now. That's why I don't have time. Like, I be up to 5 in the morning, like, working on records and shit. Like, I don't have time. I literally don't have time. Like, I'm on a fucking, like, the labels, they're like, yo, we gotta get this EP done. We gotta, nice. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm locked in. I'm not like, dating.
Damn, loving. single.
Nothing. I might flirt with you on Instagram maybe once. But baby, I'm
not
sorry.
Spending the block
I
on
ain't
that
got no
old
time
thing.
For you. None of that.
Nothing.
Not worth it.
That's what happens when you focus.
Not worth it.
Is dating hard for you because you're such a, like, a hardcore in your face rapper?
I don't want to say.
Are men intimidated?
I don't want to say. I used to feel like that back in the days, but now I feel like only the ones that are intimidated are the ones that aren't like boss niggas. They're not. You feel me? The ones that are like
step your boss up.
Niggas, they're not intimidated. Like, all right, I see what you want. I'm on that too. Get your ass over here and let's get in. You feel me? So I'm not here. I'm all right.
You all right? Okay. What's your type from when you are ready? I tell people, I usually ask these questions, but I know the guys in the comments be like, Jazz, the fuck? Stand up, oh, turn around, tell them to stand up, turn around, ask them if they single, what they like, what position. I ain't going that far. I tell you what her type is, motherfucker, but you ain't got to know her favorite position.
And that's it, child. But, period. Yes. Oh, my God. I think I'm a very aggressive female, as you're in. I'm like,
I don't know that, because that definitely resonates in your music, but I don't know if you're different.
I'm a Taurus. That's my zodiac sign, the bull, the bully. Excuse me.
Bronx bully.
Absolutely not. We're very sassy, and we're very, we need to get done the way we need to get done. Oh, yeah. You got to get to hit the road, Jack. You feel me?
And don't
so
come
I need
back,
someone
no.
that's very assertive. I need someone that's understanding. And I feel like overall, like with me, I'm very, like, want to take control, take charge, because that's what I'm used to.
Yeah.
But if I actually run into someone that's, like, very much take control, take charge, it'll make me be a little more submissive, make me be a little bit more relaxed, and I don't got to be on my bully. But it's always in me. If I got to get on my bully, I'm going to be on my bully. So I would like a reformed hood, nigga. Reformed. Like, I used to be beating niggas up. I used to be shooting shit, but I'm not no more. I got a business, and I could protect you, but I'm not. You know, I need somebody that's in between, in the lines of the penis. Yeah, one of those. I definitely need me a hood nigga, but reformed, you know?
You are so funny. I love your personality.
No, I'm just saying. Let me reform hood nigga vibes. Period.
Okay. What is your biggest pet peeve? What is it that Connie Diamond hates?
Oh, my God. Ugh, pet peeves.
What do you hate?
Okay, so, like, I hate... Okay, I hate dirty feet in the bed. That's weird to say.
You hate, so dirty feet outside the bed is cool?
No, not outside the bed either, but I'm just saying, like, if you, all right, so, like, I'm a person that, like, when I walk around the house, I have socks and I have slippers, right?
Okay.
So when it's time to get in the bed, I take my slippers off and I take my socks off. If it's too cold, I leave my socks while I get in the bed.
Right.
But I hate, like, you get in the bed, you got on, and yeah, it's dirt on your, no, I be like, ooh, it makes me itch. Like, no, I don't like nothing. I don't like no dirt particles in the bed. Like,
but your socks are dirty.
No,
that
it's
you
not.
Chose to keep all in the bed if it's
no,
too cold.
If I wear socks and slippers in the house. I wear socks and slippers. Anyone can tell you that. Anyone in my family, anything I ever dated can tell you. She got socks and slippers on, period.
But you said sometimes you keep your socks on in the bed if it's too cold.
Yeah, if
so
it's
you're
cold, but
dirt.
My socks never hit the floor is what I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, so you put on some fresh new socks in the bed.
No, I have on socks and then let me break it down because you're trying. Look.
Yeah, because I'm trying you right now. You know why?
Because
I'm one of those people. I'm opposite. That's why I'm shading you.
No.
Right, I don't wear slippers in the house.
No. Oh, hell no. Nah. No.
Friends come over like, Jazzbo's and slippers. What?
No, I like socks and slippers.
Okay.
Like I have to wear socks. And then I when I get out the shower, my slippers have to be right there. I dry off in the shower and then I slip the slippers on. I do not step on a bare foot. I don't like my bare feet on anybody's floor. I remember, oh my God.
I love this conversation,
remember,
by the
like,
way. It was
for
weird.
Real, like my ex, I was dealing with my ex at one point. We went to go visit one of his homeboys' house. We went over there for like game night, movie night, whatever.
Yeah.
And I took my shoes off and they didn't have carpet or nothing. So I was like, and I see Crocs by the door. I'm like, hey, you mind if I wear your Crocs around? Because I don't like my feet on the floor. I don't
Got
like
it.
My socks on the floor either. She was like, okay, it's all right. You can wear the Crocs around. And that's because I'm just, that's how I am. I don't like my bare feet touching the ground.
Mm.
That's a pet peeve. So if you... No, you have to put socks on. You got to put socks on. You take them off before you get in bed. I don't want no dust particles in the motherfucking bed. That's how I say it too. No dust particles on your feet when you get in bed. That's peppy.
I'm a hood bitch.
No.
From Detroit. What I tell you, I feel like I grew up somewhere like in the country and in Alabama, somewhere in the woods of Louisiana.
The country.
I literally would run around in the streets barefoot.
No, please. No. No, you make me cringe. No.
I have. No, that's why I'm looking at you like.
Please say it ain't so.
It is so with me. People used to get on me about that, but I have 9 siblings and we're like 10 badass kids. Yeah. 10 of us grew up in the same house, my mother and my father. Same parents, 10 kids. We were a little rug rats. We would run around the hood barefoot. We used to race each other barefoot. So barefoot is kind of my thing.
No,
I was barefoot before
I'm
you walked
sorry,
up in here.
No shade,
before I put
girl,
on my heels.
I used to be dusting the bed off like,
I love it. No, that's your pet peeve. I get it. I dated somebody.
Told you don't put no fucking feet in the bed. Like,
I want to say I dated somebody that felt that same way. So I do understand. So yeah, I'm your biggest pet peeve then. Okay. Look.
Don't do that. Don't you dare.
No, listen, Cardi, I've been enjoying this interview with you. Like I said, you're one of the girls that I'm definitely favoring.
Thank you.
Looking out for.
Thank you.
And when I'm in rooms, like I was in prior interviews prior to this, and I shouted your name out a few times. And I'm like, I really just enjoy her. And to be honest with you, one of the things that really made me watch you was that, is it On the Radar?
Yeah. Freestyle.
I was just like, yeah, she was top 3, one of my faves.
Thank you.
For sure. If not my fave.
I feel like I know how to demand attention. And it's like, when I get ready, when I need your attention, I need you to get it right here.
And then you went towards the end, and I was just like, whoa, okay, fur jacket, okay, fur coat, okay, blue braids, I see you. And ever since then doing my research, I'm like, yep, she's definitely one to, like, don't play with her.
Thank you so much.
So I expect great things, and I appreciate this interview.
Thank you.
The world is taking notice. And again, congratulations to the Def Jam.
Thank you so much.
Signing, so legendary, and it's so fitting for you. So I'm very, very happy for you. So when it's all said and done, we talked about your humble beginnings. We talked about everything. We talked about your pet peeve.
Yes.
We talked about you signing. How do you feel closing out the year? Give me one word to describe where you are in life right now. One word. What would it be?
It would be... test is the word. The word is test. And I say the word is test because I feel like I'm very spiritual and I'm very tapped in with the man above. And I feel like I've been getting tested so much. And it's just about keeping the faith and feeling like, you know what? Like, you have a purpose. You're on this road for a reason.
Mm.
And I've been tested with so many things, with just things not going the way I wanted to go, or people not being who I thought they were.
Mm.
And it's been like having me feeling like, okay, what the fuck is happening?
Because
I'm moving in a direction where things are actually going like this. And when you're going like this, you want to make sure everyone is solid. And you want to make sure everything is solid. And then you just, it's just like test. And the test, the real fucking test is just trusting him.
God above you.
Trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I've been at. Like, I have moments, and I'm signed now, and I say this. I could say this right now on camera. I could cry saying this, because, like, even with being signed, I feel like I'm still being tested. I'm like, okay, this is what I'm working towards. I got it. But I still feel like it's just still things that are like grabbing me, nudging me, and making me feel like pushing me in a corner. And if you don't like believe, and if you don't feel like that you're in good hands, like you're mm-hmm. gonna just crumble, and you're gonna just, the devil gonna snatch your ass up. So the word is test. And always believe that the test is totally, you got the fucking answer. You need to just make sure you maneuvering and doing what you got to do. And that's where I'm at right now. Period.
Tess, I love that. And you just gave a hell of a testimony already. Thank you. The more you grow, you're going to have a bigger testimony, because I've been reading and doing my research, and I know you feel like you're the underdog.
Yeah.
Still.
Of course.
And that's a great way to still feel, because that's what breeds greatness. Yeah. If you still feel like you got so much to prove, and it ain't for other people, even if it's just for yourself.
It is. Truly for
So with the test comes the testimony. So.
Period.
Thank you so much for
of
that.
Of course. I love you. High five, baby. I had a great time. I can't wait to watch this back.
Oh my God, I can't wait either. Yes. Y'all better stay tuned to what Connie Diamond is doing. She is that girl. And I'm so proud of you, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
All right, that's it for Woman in Hip Hop Podcast with your girl Jazzy Bell and Connie Diamond.
Two eyes and a diamond, y'all. Two eyes and a diamond.
Two eyes. I made a mistake and did an email with one eye, but I think it was autocorrect, honestly.
It's all right. It's autocorrect.
Why two eyes again?
Because I need to be unique and different.
Period.
Okay? I'm a different kind of diamond, y'all. Okay?
Period. Going, man. Yeah. And that's it with Woman of Hip Hop Podcast with your girl Jazzy Bell and Connie Diamond. And I will see y'all later.
Bye.
Deuces. Later.
Created a space where we can celebrate the unsung and the undervalued. A place where we focus on the many talents and influences for women within the culture, in hopes to inspire women everywhere to overcome adversity in a male-dominated world. Welcome to Woman in Hip Hop.
Needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.